Blog Talk Radio.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know that much is true. I wanna do bad things with you.
Having a beautiful Wednesday, and welcome to Delicious Talk segment, Bringing Sexy Back. Okay, as you know, I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. My show has been on the air for 3 years. I did my first solo show back in 2009, November 20th. Since then, I've had two co-hosts, my first being Miss Kane of Miss Kane Promotions, who co-hosted a while with me, but she had to leave because she had her own show and she does promotional business and things like that. Then Rhea Banks filled in. She's been with me for the longest. I added another segment to my show, which is Bringing Sexy Back, and that's when Danny joined. That's another co-host. Miss Kane came back for a short while, then she's gone again. So I wanted to, you know, bring a little bit more structure to my show. So I asked a dear friend of mine who was a guest on my Delicious Talk show to, you know, give me a hand. So he's now my producer slash co-host. And I also was looking for an extra outgoing co-host, so I also have that as well. And the show is, you know, going to be revved up a little bit. It's going to be a little bit more spice, and it's just going to be a good show from this point on. And without further ado, I'm going to let you know who my two new persons that I add to Bringing Sexy Back. That's DK Walker and Talia Pink Bunny. Let's give them a round of applause.
Yeah!
About that. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in my co-hosts, bring them all in, and we're going to get the show started. Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Talia.
Talia.
Oh, Talia, I'm sorry. I called you Talia. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're going to go with Pink Bunny tonight. Just that's
okay,
it.
All right. Pink Bunny, that sounds good. I can remember that. Okay, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm currently living in Pennsylvania, but not for long. I'm just a creative person, and I had a YouTube show called Pink Bunny 420. I have a blog that is just pretty much videos and stories and poems and pictures. It's called pinkbunny420.blogspot.com. And, you know, I just try to do me.
Right, right. Well, that's a good thing. And Pink Bunny's joining us, so that's the new co-host of the show. Rhea is my longest co-host, and like I said, Danny was just added, I think, in June or July. I'm not sure, but she came aboard when I did the when I started the new segment, Bringing Sexy Back. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know where DK is at, but
He's in the chat room.
Oh, he's in the chat room. Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. So, you know, like I said, you know, just bringing them on. And tonight's topic is, well, we've had a topic about menage a trois before, but we haven't had a topic like the one that we're, you know, about to have tonight. So we're going to get this going right now. Okay, Orlando DeWitt was allegedly stabbed in the arm by Fargo resident Ashley Hunter, whom he had previously met in prison, reports the Smoking Gun. The trice went down February the 8th after the two men left a Fargo bar and went back to Hunter's house for a party. According to the Smoking Gun, DeWitt told police that he and a female partier began kissing on the couch when Hunter joined in. The woman began to perform oral sex on Hunter while DeWitt had intercourse with her. But when Hunter asked to switch positions, DeWitt refused. That's when the threesome took a turn for the worse. Hunter reportedly threatened to F him up and kill him, then pulled a 12-inch butcher knife from his couch and stabbed DeWitt twice as he attempted to run away. You think this is rare? Well, think again. A Lowell man having sex with his girlfriend and her female friend was nearly mortally wounded when the drunken girlfriend became jealous and stabbed him in the chest with a kitchen knife, according to court documents. In Lowell District Court yesterday, Tristan M. Shields, 40, was released on $1,000 cash bail after pleading innocent to assault to murder and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. The victim told police he, Shields, and Shields' friend, a 39-year-old Rochester, New Hampshire woman, had been engaged in a three-way sexual encounter before the stabbing. The New Hampshire woman told police they were having group sex when Shields, who she says was drunk, got out of the bed and told her friend to continue her sexual encounter with her boyfriend. At one point, an intoxicated Shields re-entered the bedroom and became upset to see them having sex without her, according to court documents. She left the bedroom and began throwing things around. When Shields returned to the bedroom, again she had a knife and immediately stabbed the man. Court documents state, according to police, Shields admitted she stabbed her boyfriend because he was having sex without her. Now.
Well, apparently they didn't go over the rules first.
Right. That's something that in any, you know, when you have a menage a trois, there always should be rules, and those rules should be followed to the T, because if not, something like this can happen. Now, the last one where the woman was drunk, she didn't even handle business even being involved in a menage a trois, you know.
Well,
so,
that's usually how it starts.
Huh?
That's usually how it starts, with alcohol.
Well, it got to a point where, well, I think, you know, some people may take a glass of wine or something to calm their nerves down or to give them a little bit of encouragement, but she was drunk, you know. And when you're drunk, everything is so thrown off. You're so impaired as to what's going on until she probably, like she got up and told them to continue to have sex when she went out the room. Then she comes back and she's mad, you know, so. Never had
I expect that from women. Like, that story from women doesn't sound so far-fetched. It's the men that surprise me.
Well, what do they surprise you about?
I mean, women are more emotional about, you know, even when she told them to continue, and then she got mad when they were. But the men, you know, that's just, I wouldn't have thought that from men.
Those lines have been blurred a long time ago.
You mean as far as a man getting jealous when he sees
the emotional
girlfriend?
Part of it? Yeah, the emotional part. But that was blurred a long time ago. Actually, truth started coming out more and more because men are actually they're highly emotional. They just tend to hide it more.
Well, they hide it pretty good.
That's true. That is true.
They
but you know,
until they react or until they snap off and this, that, and the other, and it's like. When you really look into the situation, you usually find that it's tied back to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if one of the ladies would have stroked her boyfriend Eagles, it might have went a different way. Because some guys are, you know, if you see another guy having sex with your girl and she's enjoying it and moaning and all going kind of crazy, you know, that can be some kind of emotion as well, but. If she might have would have stroked his ego and made it seem like her boyfriend was doing it and he wasn't really doing anything and interacting, maybe it would have played out different, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if some rules were applied, say like, because I've read some places where the rules are like some, you know, men don't want their women to kiss another man. Some of them don't want them to perform oral sex on another man. So do you think maybe if there were some rules applied, these emotions wouldn't even have to come to the surface?
Yeah, definitely rules need to be, you know, laid down from jump.
Yeah, nothing fair at the moment and when they drunk. Like, I don't think that, I think rules should definitely be applied before drinking gets involved and before we start to engage in anything like that. I believe that rules should be talked about.
Right, right.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway, even if you follow those rules, because you put the majority of them in that room, and if that partner is really getting off on that other person, there's going to be some emotion there, whether you show it or not. It may not come out in the heat of that moment. It'll come out later on. There's going to be something there. And from what I understand from people who participate in that, that's one of the reasons why they never do it with a second person, a third person that they know.
Exactly,
right,
yeah.
They have any relationship with. So they can walk away from that person and never have to look at that person again.
Yes.
Because I know of several males that have left their mates and went with that third person, that third female.
Wow, right. That would be random, I would hope.
Yeah, that is random. that really right there, that is definitely random. I agree with Rhea on that one because sometimes with a threesome, with my experience of a threesome, I lost a friend. And I believe I talked to the ladies about this before, but I lost a girlfriend over a threesome because of emotions. And we talked about this, and it was crazy because she came at me. I would never have thought about it with her and her dude. It was crazy. So my advice to anybody would definitely get a stranger, go to a bar and find somebody. Or go to a swinger club, and you'll be great there. You know, everybody participating, nobody get mad. But if you're solo with your mate or your significant other, my advice was please don't get no friend. Nobody went to school with, whatever, not a neighbor.
Oh, yeah, definitely nobody you have to see every day. Like, oh, yeah, remember when we did last week? No.
Right.
Awkward.
Well, they will say, like, they have a girlfriend. They say, well, you know, I want you and me and my boyfriend, I want to give him a threesome for his birthday. You know, that's how some of those buddy things come about. And like you said, they sometimes end up with that third person simply because maybe there weren't any rules laid down, or maybe because the person did it better than the person that they're with. You know, sometimes you have to be very careful in who you choose, even sometimes strangers. You know, it just would have to be a thing where a person, this is what a person likes doing, and they love being with their partner, opposed to leaving their partner for this other person, you know, because the sex is good, you know, those types of things. Because I know of people who actually are in relationships and do those types of things, just, you know, go swinging and, you know, have menage a trois, and they're still, you know, with their mates. But, you know, a person who, I guess, is not that into the person that they're with would cause them to leave to be with somebody else.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're already with, like, if you're in a struggling relationship and then you have a menage, that's bad. I mean, that's just opening the floodgate.
Right, and then a lot of people claim that when they have these menage a trois to make their relationship stronger, when in actuality it only gives that person a more of a reason to even want to leave that relationship, I believe, because if they get with that other person and that person is better than the person that they're with, you just open the door and you just sent your partner out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that risk of that extra person even worth it? But
I have a statement. I have the question is, you said about getting a stranger. Now, say a couple wants to do a three-way and they go to a bar. How would you attempt to approach a single woman and say, come home with me and my husband, without it sounding like we want to go home and kill you?
Oh, God. That's
just... super hard. I mean, you know what I mean? To get a random stranger like that.
It depends on who's the talker in the relationship. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it was my girlfriend. So, but anybody else, like, I have a girlfriend that's into that and wants to do it. My thing would tell them to go to a gay bar or a lesbian club or something like that and, you know, figure it out. Because, you know, they let guys in there sometimes, and you have some lesbians that are not full-blown lesbian. Like, you have girls in there that's bisexual and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can go to an event, like, swinger event. If you're about that life, you can go to a swinger event. If you're open like that with your mate, you can go to a swinger event and, you know, pick from there. You can always pick, but you'd be shocked and surprised even at a random bar. You'd be shocked at a straight bar that, you know, once some people get a couple of drinks, they're willing to tell the truth and be open. I mean, it's sad, but it is true. When you start
liquid
to drink,
courage.
You feel a little loose. Yeah. You get
here in Chicago, there are, like, there's this particular bar. The owner's wife is bisexual. Every Thursday night is girl night. And it's funny how sometimes you look out there and you see all the guys with the expensive cars going in there on Thursday night, and I find that to be hilarious because I happen to know Thursday night is girl's night, that he did especially for her. But there are places that actually... I mean, that majority, let's say majority of the people there participate in things such as that.
Yeah. It would have to be some type of a atmosphere like that, because going, I really, if I was into that, I think I would have to be in a certain atmosphere as like going to a swingers bar or something like that, because going into a regular bar, and approaching a woman, she might bust me out, or, you know, it would be kind of awkward to do that. You see what I'm saying? So I think that it would be better to go into those type of atmospheres like Danny had mentioned, maybe a gay bar or a lesbian bar or a place where swingers hang out, you know, a person who would be into that same type of lifestyle, opposed to, you know, just going into a bar. Hey, I want to have a threesome with me and my boyfriend.
Yeah, I actually was approached by a couple. Actually, it was a woman approached me and said, you know, me and my boyfriend. And it just, to me, it was too suspect. It looked like, I mean, I had this whole, you know, I was on the news later on being found up in the dumpster. No way. I mean,
yeah.
She probably had, you know, the good intentions, but I saw a murder.
Right, right, because you just don't know, you know, and
right.
you do better, like I said, being in that atmosphere opposed to being in a bar where everybody's, you know, coupled off or whatever, and you, hey, I want to have a threesome. Not, well, let me ask you this. Who's more likely to introduce a threesome to their partner, the man or the woman? Who do you think?
I think it would be the man.
The man.
Yeah.
It would be the man.
Definitely,
yeah.
Because men always would say, you know, and they're, of course they always want, like, two girls, but it's never, hey, honey, let's get a new guy in here. I mean, rarely. I wouldn't expect the guy to say that, but, you know, hey, sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
I know some of them still have fantasies. Like, you know, some guys never still experience that. So for them, some of them, it's still a fantasy. For them, and then, you know, some of them had it before in their previous relationships, and, you know, maybe at this point in time, she knows what he do, and they're a little bit more open, so they want to try something new. You know, I hear that a lot with couples is want to try something new, but I tell people, why you want to try a threesome for something new? Like, you know,
right.
That can cause a lot of problems. Now, that, if you want to do it, and it's something that both of y'all want to experience, and you never experience, and it's just something y'all want to do, fine. So be it, but to do it and you already got problems, like Pete Bunn said, like you already got problems in your relationship, that ain't the best way to go with that.
You know, it's not
the best way to go with that, you know. So
that sounds like a teenager saying, but if I get pregnant, he'll stay with me. Well, if we have a threesome, we might stay together. No, wrong. Fail.
Yeah, because, you know, just like I think Danny had mentioned it, or I don't know if you had mentioned it, Pig Bunny, is, you know, you wouldn't, you know, because a woman, if she wants to have a threesome, I imagine she wants to have that with another man, so I don't think that she's going to initiate it, because mostly men are the dominants in the family, so they have the say-so, and you're right, it would be up to the man to, you know, say, well, you know, honey, let's have a threesome, you know. But what about when the girl comes off and tell her boyfriend, you know, I want to have a threesome with another woman?
It's crazy because you assume his brain is probably rattling like, oh, you trying to cheat on me, or you want something else? I'm not doing my part. It's like a double standard because it's like a man can act and it's supposed to be okay. And I'm just speaking for some that I know, like if a man acts, it's supposed to be okay. Come on, baby, let's try something new. We spicing up our relationship. But I'll be damned if a woman acts her dude, listen, let's try something new. I want to try, you know.
Bringing a new guy in.
What? Yeah, that will probably kill his ego.
Yeah.
And it will probably be so much going on. If you didn't have a problem in your relationship, believe me, after that, you will.
Yeah.
But mostly sometimes guys, they'll say, oh, can we have a threesome? And then if the woman says, well, yeah, I'll do a threesome with you if you do one with me, you know, as two men, you know, and we'll get a girl, and then you do one, two men. And there, he's always like, oh, no. But it's okay to ask. Yeah, I don't get that.
That's not right. And
where's DK at? He needs to be in this conversation. Man's point of view.
DK. But anyway, that's you know, like you had mentioned, that's not right because men, you know, they call a shot, you know, let's have a threesome. But as soon as you say, I want to have a threesome with another guy, they get all uptight. And then some men will do it. You know, then there's some men who say, well, I don't do that because I think that would be, I don't want his penis that close to me and I, you know, this and that.
Right.
But you do have the men who will do the threesome, you know, with one woman. But
if a male did ask for another male to be in it or something, would the woman more than likely think he had a hidden agenda or that he would be bisexual?
Yes.
But what if the woman had asked for two men? Then
to me, that's logical.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
If a guy was like, "Oh, honey, let's bring in another dude," and it was his suggestion, and he already had the dude, I would be a little suspect. Like, honey,
I wouldn't be suspect. To me personally, I wouldn't be suspect. I would think that he wanted. I don't know. It depends. Okay, let me think about it. Let's depend. It depends on who's the guy.
It does, because it could
on the guy
be,
because if he said
right.
My homie, and I know him and his homie, they cool and stuff like that. He said a friend of his, that might be okay. I wouldn't think suspect. But if he just picked a random guy, or let's go shoot for a random guy, or you go out and get him, you're right. I might think a little suspect. But if it was somebody that he knew and he was close to, like his homie, his best friend or something, I wouldn't really too much think of suspects. I would just think it's his boy. But normally, if that happens with a guy asking another guy and it's like his homie or something like that, she's not his girlfriend. Like, that's not my girlfriend. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not going to be his wife
that's,
or his girlfriend. Like, he's not going to keep seeing this woman
this
after his
best
friend and banger.
Right. It's just a chick that they're having fun with, and that's something
right.
that he asked, but as far as wife, no, it ain't going down like that.
Oh, no, no, no. No way.
Wow.
No,
that
way. I mean, she is rejected as wife material.
Yeah. She's definitely not wife material in that situation.
Wow. Mm-mm. Well, let me ask you this. How much physical attraction is needed for total enjoyment? Or does physical attraction play a part in, or just somebody... You know, how does that go?
I would think that the first time would be, like, the physical wouldn't be as important as, like, the adrenaline rush of, oh, my God, it's about to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that plays a big part in it, but also, like, you know, the adrenaline of just knowing that you're about to do something that most people dream about.
Think funny. Who you fooling?
I'm sorry?
Who you fooling?
Who am I fooling?
Yeah, who are you fooling? Because he got to look like something. She got to look like something. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, she got to look like something. We're not doing this with no ugly, busted, ratchet.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about, like, for the girl, maybe, you know, he wouldn't be necessarily a guy that she would approach right away. But
okay,
if it's, like, his friends, I mean, you know, his friend, and she'd be like, well, yeah, he's all right. He's good enough.
Okay, I got what you're saying. I think
but he's not number, you know, he's not number one material, but he's definitely somebody you can like do and not ever think about again.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I was the type of person to do menage a trois, the person would have to have some type of physical attributes, you know, in order for me to even consider being, you know, with them in a menage a trois. Because, you know, it's that visual, you know.
Well, yeah, of course, you don't ever want to look down at some guy's face, you know, and he's ugly.
Like a
troll.
Like,
ooh. Looking
like Shabba Ranks and Flavor Blue.
Yeah.
Shabba Banks.
Yeah. You'd be like, wait a minute, I just lost my appetite. You know what? I'm going to go sit this one out.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to have you come back later.
Yeah, because
I mean that's all
that
that's natural with you know a mating process. You got to weed them out.
Yeah,
right.
And I wonder how those that couple looked. The two guys and that girl. How did they look? I don't know, but
well, different strokes for different folks. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Sure,
and they had left a bar, so yeah.
Mm.
Well, and they also had met in jail. Okay.
Yeah, that
forget that part.
Right. When I read that, I said they met in jail. Now, I wonder if they had ever, you know, because it could have happened. You know, they could have done something in jail. Guys in jail, they do their thing, come out on the street, and then they back straight or whatever. But, you know, they could have done that, you know. But I'm not one to talk, so you ain't heard that from me.
Look, there's a new book out on that, on the men's sexuality in prison.
I don't know what to call them. There's moments I want to call them gay, and there's some moments I want to call them bisexual. But for me, what he told me, his experience was, I never was the bottom, and I know what that means. But I'm like, what do you mean? So you allow somebody to give you head? Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Like, while I'm in there, like I can only jack off for so much time, so. Of course, you know, it was a secret between me and this person, yada, yada, and we just did it. Okay, so now what do you do? Did you like it? What do you do when you come home? Now he's home, and he does threesomes. But from my understanding, I've never done with one with him and never seen him, but he said he doesn't interact with a guy. He's never let anybody So while he was
but
in jail, he said he had
that
to
says a lot about men. Like, their sexual urge is so strong that they would allow opposite sex to perform sexual acts on them. You know what I mean? Just to get that gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never been in prison, and knock on wood, because I don't do jail, but I just don't see that my sexual urge to, like, flaring up is so high that I want to turn gay, even temporarily.
Well, I guess if you're in there for, like, 10 years, then if you're in jail for 10 years, I guess you're gonna do more than just use your hand, I guess. But I just don't believe it. When you come home, I just don't believe that he hasn't engaged in that still while he's home. He can tell me anything, but I just don't believe that he hasn't participated in some.
Oh, that's how, yeah, the DL guys. DL.
Right. Right.
And, yeah, you're right about that.
Well, I think after a while, you also develop a proclivity to that kind of stuff. If this is your... It has to be feeding something. You can't just turn it off like a faucet. Because if that was the case, then you wouldn't have to participate in it anyway.
Right, right.
You know, so it's got to be. I remember the first time I read one of Elin Harris's books. What stood out to me when I got into the, I think it was actually the second book that he had out. What stood out to me? No, it wasn't. It was Basil Ass, because I couldn't stand him. But anyway.
Basil. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
It was Basil who did it. Basil said something that really stood out to me, and I had heard it before, but I didn't know what it meant to hear it from a male. And he said, oh, no, I was just freaking. You know, so when he was doing it, when he was doing guys, he was just freaking. And I had heard that term before, and I'm like, okay, so it's a difference between freaking and freaks, you know, and that's what kind of opened, you know, me. And I was talking to this one, because I love talking to males to see their points of views of it and things like that, and we was having a general conversation, and they started the conversation, and I kind of came in on the conversation, and I did notice, like I said, I noticed that there was definitely a different meaning between freaking and freaks. And in that book, I heard that more than one time. So when my 28-year-old son got older, I asked him a question. And I asked him that question because it was this big thing about football teams and everybody got to be initiated and all that, you know. And I was really... more or less curious. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, I don't do that freaking thing. And when I looked at him, I said, damn, now it's coming full circle. And in that instance, that made me realize the term freaking and freaks means two different things. And sometimes coming from a man, freaking, I think, kind of opens the door to just about anything.
Yeah. So what is the risk of an extra person being a better lover worth taking?
I think there's always a risk when you bring somebody else into your bedroom.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's always a risk.
I think there's always a risk when you bring somebody else into your bedroom.
Yeah, you ain't going to pass that. It's always going to be a risk. That's just crazy.
If for no other reason is that old saying, what they say, new pussy is always better than old pussy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
but is it worth it?
I ain't never heard that.
Exactly. Oh, I hit it all the time. It's all,
yeah.
Always after the new. So it's like, okay, then the novelty wear off, and then they want to go back to the old. You know, because the old was that standard, and they realized that new just was, quote, unquote, the new thing at that moment. So
it was something just to fill the urge. Now they're going to go back home and go play with old pussy again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
New is new, but new may not be necessarily better than old.
True.
That it may not true. Be, but it's just you're filling the
but
thrill.
New is new. It's like new shoes.
New.
You,
right,
you might
right.
have a favorite pair, but these are new ones.
Yeah, and you ain't going to wear them with your best outfit. You might wear them for a little bit, and after a while they go in the closet, and you
something
you
owe your best pair.
Yeah.
It's a novelty. It's something that's, you know, and then you're like, okay, Yeah, this is shiny, but this wasn't like that. So let me just put that away and go back over there.
I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. Why is it that, okay, so you, if a man asks for a menage and the woman agrees, is it automatically assumed that the two women have to have sex when if it was two men, you would automatically assume that they wouldn't even touch?
I think okay. That is the general consensus.
Yeah, because, well, my thing is, only if, see, I can't really speak of it because I've never done a menage a trois, but I'm just going to throw this out there. If I was in a menage a trois with two men, I really think that not unless they were gay men, that they would engage in any type of sexual activity.
Right, that's automatically assumed.
Pardon?
That's automatically assumed that the men wouldn't engage in each other, but the women would. In addition to the man, you know, all three of them would be having sex, whereas mm-hmm. two men is just having sex with the one woman.
It's
right.
Just like when men watch porn. Like when men watch porn, they love to see lesbian porn. I know some
right.
love to watch girl
right.
and girl. So it's like a beautiful thing, you know, to see two women engage in each other. It ain't cute to see two men, two thugs, two thugs. To see them going at it together. So I think it's more of it's a beautiful thing when you look at women. Women are beautiful. When you look at them and they engage, it's just something that's so turned on about it. But when you're not going to get turned on seeing two men. And
not
going
that I'm
at
knocking
it.
Being gay. You know, it's a
right,
beautiful
right.
thing. I just don't want to see it.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I did see it, and I wanted to see it simply because always seeing, you know, the women going at it. So I said, I just wanted to see men going at it. And once mm-hmm. I was satisfied of seeing that, that's, you know, how it was. But I really wanted to see it because, you know, just seeing the women doing it all the time. And the very first time I saw it, actually, I was watching a porn tape that I really didn't know that it was in there until, well, it was about these two, this man, this woman, then another man that came in, and then all of a sudden he started going down on the man, and my eyes got so big, I thought he was going
to
pop out.
You need
my
to be
head.
Warned. You just can't be, like, shocked into that. You need to be like, they should be a stop the movie and say, okay, you're about to see some graphic things, more graphic than normal. You just can't pop that in. You know what? Who does that? FX TV shows. They'll pop in some gay, man gayness, and I'll just go, whoa, where'd that come from?
Right. It didn't say that, but it was, you know, something that after I had saw it, I said, oh, so this is what it's all about when men engage with men. You see what I'm saying? Because I knew that it happened, but as far as me actually seeing it, you know, mm-hmm. it was really like something that was very eye-opening to me. And then I felt like, okay, so now I've seen the men do it as well as the women do it. And that was it, you know.
Was that on your bucket list?
You only saw
see
the
two
oral part,
men
right?
making out. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the thing is now they saying, and the new, you know, every generation is new and everybody comes up with something new. Now the thing is a threesome is considered two women and a guy. When you do two guys and a girl, it's considered a train. It's weird. Because I was like,
yeah, I never even thought about that, yep.
And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand that threesome is three people. And it was just like, no, when it's two guys and a girl, it's considered a train. When it's
you
multiple
know what?
Guys,
that's,
it's considered a
that
game.
That is how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that same way because I just, it just even when I would, you know, when I used to watch porn and seeing all these men, you know, a woman, she has penis in her mouth, penis in her butt, jacking off and all this whole kind of stuff. And it just looked so much like they was, like, raping her, you know. So I don't like to really see those types of things, no gangbang.
You mean like multiple, like a gang, yeah, a gangbang. Because, you know,
yeah.
As a woman, you know, you can only take but so long. And having three guys, that's triple the work.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, now how far do you go to make sure the third person is disease and drug free? And does it matter in the heat of the moment?
Ooh. Again, that's where we go back to the rules. Like, threesome should never be a spur of the moment because that's when that becomes a factor when you don't know what she got or yada, yada, he got or whatever, which one you use. But I think that's when rules play, where, you know, you have to make sure that she or he is disease-free. You ask them for their test. Now, nowadays, it shouldn't be an embarrassment to ask somebody, when the last time you got tested? Well, you need to get tested. That's when, again, rules need to be played, because that needs to be a part of your rules. And far as, because it's just like watching porn now. When you watch porn and you watch somebody get it done raw, it's great looking at it. People want to see rawness. People don't want to see somebody wearing a condom.
Right. So it kind of takes away from the effect.
Right. And it's the same way even when you engage personally or even with swingers, you don't use condoms. So I think that should be like a rule before you engage. I'm telling you, a threesome should never, never, ever be engaged on the spur of the moment. Never. I'm telling you, it's
okay.
Going to always be a problem for a spur of the moment, unless that's just the type of person y'all into, and which is that lifestyle, playing lifestyle.
Okay, you mentioned they should show their their paperwork that they're drugs, disease-free. I'm quite sure you heard about Mr. Marcus, what he did. He showed his papers through a cell phone. He cut off the part where he
was
positive for syphilis. So, you know, that generally doesn't take too much weight neither. And I think that as far as condoms are concerned, if I was to ever, not ever, but if I was a porn star, I would either have to wear condoms or I couldn't be one. You know, regardless of how good you are and all that
point?
Kind of stuff. Because, huh?
Wear a condom at what point? I really don't get the that whole process behind it. People wear a condom when they doing intercourse, but yet you do oral without one. Excuse me?
Right.
I just I don't get the concept behind, you know, it's like I don't know. I know.
Well, first of all, Rhea,
I'm so glad
first
I'm
of all, you're not gonna Rhea, you're not gonna put. Well, I'm just speaking on my experience. I don't want to taste the rubber. You're not. A condom tastes
yeah.
nasty.
Well, they say vanilla tastes. I was told by a female who does it. Vanilla is the only one that tastes anywhere near good. The rest of them are nasty.
Right.
So you,
right.
you go to the counter, can I have the vanilla ones? And they're like, oh, we know where she's going later. Specifically, I need the vanilla.
Yeah, so if you're going to use a condom and that's how you prefer to do it, I would suggest that you use a flavor condom. But there's either also liquids that if you don't want to use a condom and you still want to taste like something, it's still some liquid to use. But I'm just saying, me personally, I'm not putting my mouth on a condom. That's very nasty to me. Like, I don't like that latex taste.
Yeah, well, you know, to each his own, the people... You
right.
know, if you have someone, a trusting partner that you know that they're disease-free, you know this, you know, then, and you choose to not use a condom, that's basically, you know, how you do it. Everybody's different, you know, but it was just a question, you know, how far would you go to make sure a person that you're having a menage a trois with is disease and drug free, because you pick somebody up in the bar or pick somebody up from, you know, wherever you pick them up at, you know, you have to really be careful because you don't know, you know, what they have. And, you know, I don't know if people walk around with their papers saying I've just been tested last week, you know, but, you know,
they should
have
like some kind of a Medicaid card where, you know, you get all your shots and you get it clicked off and they're like, hey, see, here's my card, baby. I got it clicked. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and does your partner really love you if they're willing to allow you to be with another? Do they really love you? If your partner, let's just put it on the woman now, she says, honey, I want to have a menage a trois with another man. Is she saying that because she doesn't love her partner, or is she saying that because that's what she wants to do, or she wants to introduce him, you know, how do you think your partner would feel about that? Or how would you feel? Put yourself in that position. How would you feel?
To me personally, and I think it's too much putting into it. Like, that's too deep of a question, because I don't think that he doesn't love me if he wanted a threesome. That might be something that he may just want to experience and he never had, because a threesome's supposed to be a thrill. It's supposed to be something that, you know,
not
you want
emotional.
To try. Is not supposed to be emotional, so I'm not even looking at if he asks me, it's because he don't love me. Or if I ask him, it's because I don't love him or he's not doing it right, unless that's what I came out of my mouth and said. But other than that, it's not supposed to be that deep. Like, that's why people don't need to get into do these things. If you're not about that life, you need not to touch this, because I think that's a little bit too deep. It's not even supposed to be emotional, like Pete Bunny. It's not an emotional thing. It's like fun, let's have fun, and go home. Everybody go home. That's it.
Yep.
Right.
Let's ride this roller coaster, and then we get off, and then that's it.
Right. Okay, I'm going to pose this next question. Is basically we just talked about a second ago. Do you really love yourself to allow this to happen if it's only done to please your partner?
Yeah, because that's what love is. Sometimes you have to do things that you may not necessarily want to do. I mean, but it has to be,
sort of like to prove that you do love this person. Because if I'm truly loving my partner, but I swear I cannot do a menage a trois. So if he even asked me that, we would have to talk about that very seriously. But not because I wouldn't do it, not because I don't love him. It's just the fact that I'm selfish.
Right.
With my love, I don't want to share that with anybody else, and that's my reasonings for not, participating in the menage a trois. And if he couldn't understand that, then he obviously would not be the person for me.
Because he doesn't have that same respect that you have.
Right. And sometimes it's like, that saying, what you won't do, somebody else is will. So that could be another part of why she would do it, because if he keeps talking about it and, every chance he gets, or just keep bringing it up every few days, or, once in the blue moon and keep bringing it up, she might just buckle down and be like, listen, all right, I'm going to just do it and get it over with, because I'm just tired of him asking, because it's like that sometimes.
And you know what? That's the beginning of the end, because if he does it just for him, there's going to be issues with that at some point or the other. There's nothing in this life that if you can't find peace in it or something in it, then damn it, you don't do it. I don't care what it is and who it's for. You don't sacrifice, go that far, because in the long run, you're going to regret it, or you're going to bring it back up, but it's going to cause a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to resent him for it.
Right. Well, I have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to bring them in real quick. Caller 402, do you have a question or comment?
This is number 37.
Hi, black man.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi,
lady?
Black man.
When you're doing stuff like that, that's supposed to be just an adventure. It's supposed to be something you do just extra. So you're only supposed to do that, y'all both get off, and then you go about your business.
With people you know?
Supposed to be, huh?
With people you know, if you go about your business, are these people that you see in your everyday life?
I would say if you're going to do something like that, you would best get somebody that you don't. I mean, if you know somebody that's into that and you feel comfortable with that, then that's your thing. If you feel that you want to get somebody that you don't know, meet up and have, discussion and all that stuff, then that you do it that way. Any which way. It all depends on the type of person you get. I mean, they got to be, number one, they got to be down with it. Number two, y'all got to make sure things are straight between all parties before it even
Well, how do you know
down.
It? Because it goes bad. I mean, the girl just left for a sandwich, and then she told the girl, go ahead and continue, and she did, and then she came back and stabbed her.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be like, what? I just did what you told me to do.
Right. To me, I thought that's the smart way to do it, but obviously some folks, they can't handle that type of situation.
Right,
because it's not for everybody. People who think that it's a good idea, like these girls, they give their boyfriend for their birthday a threesome, sometimes that could be the worst thing you could do. So you have to be in that lifestyle. You just can't one day wake up and say, oh, okay, I'm gonna have a threesome tonight. I really don't think it would work like that. We have another caller.
I'm sorry.
And then once you open that door, how do you close it?
Yeah.
But I think also it's like a bucket list for some men. Like they just have to do it just to say they did it.
Yeah.
There's some women like that, though, too. It ain't just men.
True. Very true.
Okay, I'm going to bring this other call in. 202-705, are you there?
Yes, I am. First of all, I want to say, ladies, y'all doing a great job.
Hi,
thank
DJ.
You.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hello.
Y'all making some great points. I didn't, you know, feel the need to, like, throw in my two cents. But, you know, I think the question was posed about, you know, if someone asked you to bring in another lover, you know, would you do it just because they act? There's a part, you know, I'm in total agreement about, you know, if you're going to, like, you know, partake, you have to be totally in that lifestyle because there's so much involved. And I also think that when you're dealing with sex, you're dealing with emotion. I don't care if you're the biggest freak, hoe, slut, or whatever. You're dealing with emotion. So if
that's
you're
very
a
true.
Girl,
that's actually
why
I laughed earlier when somebody said there's no emotion in it. I'm like, okay, damn, everything about sex is emotion.
Even when you have sex by
yourself.
No, there
has to be no emotion when you go into that.
Even when you have sex by yourself, there's emotion.
Yes, there are.
Men, not for most men.
No, I grew up around what was considered the biggest stroll area in Chicago, the Low End. And because of a situation that occurred one night, I ended up befriending a prostitute. And in talking with her, we had conversations. And in talking with her, and at this time I was a young girl, I was only 15, 16 years old. In talking to her, I learned something that I actually didn't think existed. I didn't think they had emotions. I didn't think that they felt, you know, it was just an act. I didn't think that it, yeah. They have some really deep emotions. That's why so many of them dove off into the drugs and the alcohol, because that's one of the things to keep them going. And listening to her talk, it was like, damn. I never, ever in my conceived. I mean, I grew up reading Donald Goins, and I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm listening to this stuff, and I'm seeing these red broads in these books and doing this, that, and the other, and didn't even think about that part. And then when I had the opportunity to actually talk with her, it changed the way I thought about a lot of things. And it's very hard for anybody to tell me that when you have sex, there's no emotion attached. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily for those people involved, but the emotion is there. And I think that's what some people get attached to more so than it's like, that, is that feeling, that act, what that person did is what makes them go back to that person, as opposed to just the act itself. It's what that person did, and it is some attached to that. That's just my opinion.
Right, because whenever we engage in sexual activities, endorphins and other chemicals that are released causes that attachment, you know, that emotion. Because when we as women, when we finish having sex, we want to cuddle up, we want to hug, we want to kiss and all this and that. And the guy, he can just turn over and go to sleep. You know, but there is an emotional attachment there. And as you mentioned, Rhea, as far as that prostitute, when she spoke to you, and I don't know, you know, what you guys talked about, but, you know, even the point of her, what made her become a prostitute was probably some type of emotional change or some type of trauma or something that had caused her.
She was raped by her, her father and her stepfather. And then her mom got mad and threw her out the house, and she was like 14 years old.
Right, and see, that's you know, that's most of the prostitutes, they go through some type of trauma, and it's generally either being molested or abused physically and mentally. So we're going to get back to, okay, what if an accompanying body odor is released when clothes come off? Do you stop the threesome and turn it off, or do you proceed ahead?
No, you turn it off. That's it.
Pump the brakes right now.
Oh, we know that. We know the answer to that question. Come on now.
Ooh, I'm sober already.
I think
that's right. I lost my appetite. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I can know, honey. That's
because if they have underarm body odor, what else is the area smelling like? I'd be scared.
Yeah. You know, or when the jeans come off and, you know, that scent hits you, like, whoa, like the Walking Dead scent. Like,
ooh.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, that's not a
cute
smell.
You mean you don't do what some of these guys out here say and take one for the team?
I'm not
taking one for the team.
I ain't taking nothing for no team. He gonna be mad that night because if she's smelling like that, she got to go. And you, or
yeah.
You go with her. Y'all can go ahead and take yourself because I'm out. Deuces. I'm gonna sit out on this one.
She always.
Well, what
that's
about
you? That's
you, know,
you Ricky. That's you.
I've heard where at times they would, you know, like maybe. Everybody would get in and take a shower together and then, you know, set the mood and, you know, take it from that perspective. But if someone just coming off the street, because I don't think that, you know, if I was to engage in a menage a trois, this person, whoever they are, they definitely would have to shower in front of me, all of us get in the shower together or something, because even, you know, just after a long, hard day of work and you're still wearing the same clothes, it may not be a terrible body odor, but it will be some odor going on there. So I think if I was to engage in a menage a trois and some kind of odor came up, yes, I would stop. Dead on a dime.
Yeah, true. And probably wouldn't want to try again because of, yeah, like, really? Why did
traumatized.
That go? Exactly.
Traumatized ain't the word. I am. Mm-mm. I'm more than dramatized. Shoot. I'm smellatized. Listen. Oh, no. She got to go.
We touched on this a little bit. So what if a male asks for another man to be with his woman because he has a hidden agenda of bisexuality and she's just the front?
Oh, you mean like
would
what
you,
white men do when they want a black man in their bed with their white wife?
Oh, so that, okay.
No, that's some kind of a slave master scenario, fantasy gone wrong.
They do it. They got websites for it.
It is. So it's a fetish. You know, that's dominatrix right there. So.
Well, what, you know, how would you, if you was, because some of these women are really naive and some of these women really don't pick up certain things. But if your man invited another man into the bedroom, and I guess I will go with the next question, how would you feel if you were to see your man give oral or receive it from another man if it was never discussed?
It would turn me off.
Yeah, me too. I would dry up like the desert.
I'm done. Yeah. I lost my appetite. I'm good. I'm sorry.
I'm like, honey, I didn't know you like pork sausage. You should have told me that ahead of time. That would have been nice information to know.
Yeah, that's something you should tell me up front. Because if you're around here, I don't do Pokemon. So if you with the Pokemon, you should have told me this because I'm embarrassed you and him because y'all can have y'all seen. Y'all can have that. I'm good.
Okay, now let me ask you this. After he asked you that and you told him no, would that arouse your suspicion of him being on the down low, or you just, you know?
I wouldn't automatically assume that he's on the DL.
I'm going by his reaction. If he's really hurt and upset and keeps asking me and I keep saying no and he's really consistent with that, and he got an attitude, I'm a little worried because now you have an attitude. You should never have an attitude because I say no to another man. What? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's a different script now. Now we're playing a different ball game now. So
see, the first attempt would be like, oh, well, he's trying to catch me into doing something, or he's trying to like make me fall into entrapment or something like that. But if he keeps persisting, like you said, and he's getting butt hurt, literally, then I'm like, yeah, you need to have a deeper conversation than a threesome.
And, yeah, he got butt issues. I don't know. That sounds like a personal butt issue. I ain't with it.
Wow. If my old man has said something to the effect, if I had seen my old man getting oil from another man, I don't think I could handle that. Mm-hmm. Number one, because I saw in a movie, in another porn, I used to watch porn, men do it. Give men oral different from women. I've noticed that.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen it, and I'm a person who I watch stuff and I observe stuff very closely.
Oh.
And to me, the man does it different. He sucks a man's penis different from a woman.
Okay, I gotta
so
go.
If,
well, I'm just curious because I mean that's a craft that it needs, you know.
Well, you know what?
You know, and so
I'd
be curious
that's,
to like watch these videos to pick up some pointers.
Right,
it
that,
is.
That's basically where I would watch
you.
Porn.
Is, yep.
And
that's
I said to myself, so this is how it's done. So I'll do that, you know, with
well, that's
my
vice versa.
Man.
That's just like a woman. That's watching lesbian. You see how she eats her pussy. So, I mean, it's the same thing. You can use it as a guide. Because that's, you know, I watch gay porn as far as the oral part. Now, when they start the hammer, I'm turning and I'm turning it off. And I don't
mm-hmm.
want to be a part of that. But far as giving head, yeah, I've watched it plenty of times. That's where I learned my great skill from. But that's a different story for a different time.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a different
yeah.
topic.
That's a different topic. But, yeah,
yeah.
It's like vice versa. Even when you see a woman doing it, she teaches you how to do it. So, you know, some people watch, you know, lesbian porn because of that, too. So.
Well, I guess I have to talk to with my gay friends and ask them for some pointers.
Yeah. Well, I
give
you know,
pointers,
basically,
right.
I would... Pardon, what'd you say, black man?
They
can
give me some pointers,
all right. Well, the reason I would watch porn is to pick up tips and, you know, different things because, for real, porn does not excite me. You know, it doesn't get me, you know, turn me on. It's just things that I watch so I can learn different things from them. And I can say that I have learned some things from different porn stars that I've watched and, you know, got them in my little.
And who have
I got
you learned
going
from,
on.
Ms. Delicious? Could you give us
Pardon?
Some names?
And
who have you learned from? Could you give us some names?
From Janet Jack May. She's really good. And it's
Hell
another
yeah.
one. I can't think of her name.
Janet Jameson is really good. Like, I like her.
The white girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
yeah,
really
she's
good.
Good. And it's another
Jasmine
one.
Jasmine Cashmere.
Okay.
I'm surprised I'm surprised ain't nobody named the all-time queen Vanessa Del Rio. Shame.
Oh,
shame.
Yes,
shame.
Vanessa,
come on.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, Vanessa
Heather,
was,
Heather Huntley? No,
Heather Huntley.
Huntley, yeah, that's what it is.
It was another one. I can't think of her
one.
Name, but she was the bomb, too. You know, and I know you guys heard of Shawn Michaels. He's producing porn, but he used to be a porn star. And Janet Jack May. Oh, he produced.
He's still
everything.
Doing them. He's still slanging
yeah.
dick. Yeah,
you
brilliant.
Were saying about Mr. Marcus. Is he the one with the guns on his hips?
He's the one who was spreading, was it syphilis? Mr. Marcus.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the one.
Yeah, but
is
he the one, like, I don't know his name per se, but the dude with the guns on his hips.
He always wears a baseball cap.
Always.
Yeah, that's him. He has guns tattooed on his hips.
Oh, okay.
I never noticed that.
I don't know.
Never noticed that either. I think
I'm more of a landmark kind of
person.
I might
that.
Not remember your name, but I remember, like, features and
right,
you know,
right.
attributes about yourself.
Right. Right.
The gun guy.
Well, there are some things you can learn off of those porn tapes, you know, because like I said, I used to watch them just to pick up little pointers and, you know, apply them. But, okay, how would you really feel? Hmm?
They're helpful.
Mm-hmm. How would you really feel if it went beyond oral between the two men and anal penetration was involved?
I'm Lord.
I'm not
why are we on this? Why are we on that?
I think
because
those things
that could happen in a menage a trois, and we're trying to get things clear so the listening audience can learn a few things as well.
And again,
so
if you're not about this life, do not do it. How about that? If you're not about that lifestyle and about that thrill, do not engage in a threesome, but do rules. Please have rules. Set rules. Sit down. Talk about it. Let's figure out. And you got to ask them these questions. Don't feel bad to think you're
right,
going to get mad, but ask them. The thing is, ask them. When you do a threesome, please do rules. Sit down with your partner and ask these questions because you need to know this. Don't nobody want to be surprised because his ass won't be surprised. So don't nobody want to be surprised. So the best thing to do is sit down and talk to your partner.
Oh,
and
my.
And ask questions, and that's what women, don't be afraid. He asked you for a threesome, okay, whatever. But don't be afraid to ask questions. Because not
right.
even if another man is not involved and it's two women, he might even like to be played with a dildo in his ass. You need to know these things, so ask questions. That's all I'm
right.
saying. If you're going to do that, ask questions. Ask questions, because it may not even be two guys. It might be another girl, and the other girl might be into other stuff, and she'd be taking out a dildo. You'd be like, whoa, wait.
Yeah, pull out a strap on or something.
But it's not necessarily gay. If a man likes his anal stimulated during sex, if it's done by a woman, it's
right.
only
it's
gay
gay
if it's done by a man.
Thank
right.
you. I agree with you on that. Not that
right.
I agree with you.
That's the truth. But see, sometimes you have to also be careful, because you don't know if he's getting it from you and then getting it from a man as well. Because I was with this guy one time, and he tells me to, you know, go in his drawer and he said there's a dildo down in the drawer, so I'm thinking he was going to use it on me. So I said, well, I hope it's in the package, because I'm not using no used toys. I took it out, and he wanted me to use it on him. So now I don't know if he just used that dildo or if he had
Well, it's not necessarily. I mean, he likes penetration in his anal area. That's not
mm-hmm.
necessarily gay.
Right.
I mean,
but
that is where most spot is.
Most men will accept a finger, but they say if a man has his own personal dildo, then he's
oh,
apt to also deal with men as well. Now, I don't know
most
if that's
men.
True or not. But, you know, that's an occasion that it happened with me.
No,
he's taking
the
survey for
this.
And then, just like you said, some men, you know, the prostate is the male G spot.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with stimulating that. It you know, it makes a man really really hot.
Look,
huh?
If a woman knows how to give a good blow job, I ain't got to worry about all that. Okay. You know how to make me pop within 5 to 10 minutes, which I'm trying to teach my girlfriend. If you can make me pop within 5 and 10 minutes, we all good. You don't need to put your finger up there. All right?
So she's not going nowhere near your ass. Is that what you're saying? Like, if she's giving you good head, you're not going to let her, like, massage your butt? Like, when I'm just asking you per se, just, you know, because you're a man, what happens if she's giving you great head and her hands just fumble back there? Would you stop?
Gravitate down there.
No, she can't penetrate me. If she's grabbing
no,
my ass with her hand because she's blowing me, hey, I ain't got
okay,
nothing wrong with
that. What if she?
Okay. What if she just touches the opening and is not trying
right.
to penetrate you?
Right. She's not trying to.
Why
right.
She
just touching the opening.
There?
Huh?
I said, why would she need to?
No, I'm just saying because some men like that, you know. But I'm just
it's
saying
it's not gay
just,
if you like that. It's not gay. It's this a part
right,
of your body
just
that needs
feels
stimulated.
Like she wants to touch you back there, you know, just touch it. Because some women don't even like to stick their fingers in it, but they will touch it. So if she wants to touch you back there, are you going to go, ooh, no, no, take your hand from back there, Lee? No, no, no. Or are you just going to let her touch you?
Well, she can touch whatever part about it she want to touch, as long as she ain't trying to stick me. That's
right,
the point.
Okay. So gotcha. She can touch you back there. You don't mind a
yeah,
touch back there.
She's my woman. She better be able to touch me wherever she wants to. Hell,
oh, okay.
She's my woman.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But she can't penetrate me. We're not doing
right.
that. No.
Gotcha.
Right. Right. But there's nothing wrong with that because, like, no. Some women don't like sticking their fingers in there anyway, you know, but they will touch it. You
right,
know.
Right.
And there's nothing yeah, wrong with that. You know, some men are, you know, the first thing that comes out their mouth, I'm not gay, I don't do that. But it's not, and see, it's just been taken so out of proportion because that's how some gay men satisfy each other, by penetrating each other. So a straight man comes along and his girlfriend's trying to stick her finger in his butt and he goes, no, don't do that, I'm not gay.
Yeah,
we're not assuming that you're gay. We're just trying to give you all the pleasure that we can, you know, figuring that that's pleasurable to me as well. It would be pleasurable to you, too.
Sometimes I think guys think that if a woman touches their anus or their anal or whatever, that it's going to turn on a gay button. Just because I'm touching it doesn't mean you're all of a sudden going to turn the gay button on and now you want dildo in your
ass. Some women believe that.
Oh, wow.
My whole thing is just like, you know, to each his own, you know your own comfortability level, you know what you're good with and what you're not good with, but, you know, you know this going in. So your partner kind of figures what she or he can get away with. So,
right.
you know, and they may test the waters and whatnot, and then they feel you tense up their sense of level, they won't push the envelope. You know, same thing with a man. If you know you're trying something with a woman and she like she can't, she's not, it's not a good fit or a good situation for her. If you're a sensitive lover, then we're not going there. You know, but if everything is you know wide open and y'all keep going, then you know that's between two considering adults. It's no hang-ups. You know, whatever floats your boat, floats your boat.
Right. Right.
That's just my two cents. I mean, I'm not going to beat my chest and, you know, and whatever she's working with is cool. If I'm not working with, we can talk about it or she can read my body language.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best thing because if you're, you know, you're caught up in the moment and she decides that she wants to touch your anal and, you know, then all of a sudden you're going to clench up your butt and...
Mama said, lock my ass.
But, you know, that comes with the communication because I think what, you know, you get everything on the table, baby, what you like, can I do this, can I do that, you want this, you want that. So once you establish that from the beginning, then she knows how far to go, you know how far to go, you know what each one of you like, you know what to do, you know how to turn each other on, so that's what you go for. And if you like that penetration in your butt, it's nothing wrong with that. But if it comes to a point where you're going out, hanging out with the guys all weekend and, you know, coming back home and smelling like doo-doo,
I'm just saying that's just not a good look. That's too funny. You come home with grease stains in your drawers. Like, really? How do you explain that? But I digress.
Oh. Yeah. But you know, it's all about the communication and things you do.
True.
Yeah. So do you think there's a hint of bisexuality anyway with two men being nude and in such a close proximity?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. But right. there has to be sense about, you know, a woman who is not gay and engaging in these acts just for her man's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That, I don't know. I wouldn't do it because I'm not gay.
Right.
So I have no desire to do that, even if it's for my spouse or whoever. You know, I'm not sorry. I just don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why is it? Huh?
No, I said, which is understandable. I mean, like, it's like once again, it's all about being comfortable and whatnot. I mean, I think as long as the two guys don't touch or come into, you know, they sword fighting.
Right.
Grenade over there, keep on over here, and everything will be good.
Right.
Or, take our times on either side.
Right. So we're good. You know, I don't think you got to be like,
or, you know, tag, you're it. You know, I wait over here and tag. Here you go, homie. You it.
I mean, that works too. You know, whatever y'all
decide. That works a whole lot better. Believe me. That works a whole lot better.
I like when now distinguishing between a menage is two women and a train is two men. I mean, that makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Okay, why is it always assumed that two women will make out if it's a woman-male-woman threesome?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always
that's
want the
what,
woman.
Yeah.
They
that's
always
the
want the woman,
anyway,
the women to make
women.
Out. But that, I mean, that not necessarily have to happen, though, because in a book that I wrote, I had these two sisters that was in a menage a trois with this guy, and they never touched each other. You know,
but they're
so
sisters.
Right. And
okay, well,
and well, even if they wasn't sisters, sometimes, you know, say like it's a woman who's never been with two women who've never been with two women, they don't have the intention of being with two women, but they want to engage within this menage a trois with this man. So why is it always assumed that these women have to make out?
Maybe it's because the way society has, you know, I guess made that acceptable. You know, it's cool. It's all right to see two women walking down the street kissing and being affectionate. We don't really turn that and go, ew. But when you see two men with scruffy beards or whatever, for some reason you just look at that as real wrong. I don't pass judgment to each his own. You know, when we die, then that's, you know, it'll play itself out. But if that's your thing, then that's your thing. But I think society as a whole makes women, you know, it's more pleasing to the eye to see women to be more affectionate.
Right.
You know, they play around with it on commercials and things of this nature, you know. So it's just, you know, it's unfortunately it's ingrained in us.
Right. Right. Okay, how do you deal with the aftermath if feelings become involved? Now, you was with this, you was in a threesome, and all of a sudden you liking the guy because he did it better than your boyfriend, or, you know, your girl, you're in a threesome, the girl did it better than your girlfriend. How do you deal with those feelings?
You can learn to separate emotion and sex.
It's supposed to be separated, but normally if it's another guy and it's two guys and a girl, normally it shouldn't even be no type of emotion. Like, that's, it's normally not her dude. Like, that's not his girlfriend and that's not her boyfriend. So if she wants to go off in school, then it's pretty cool. But if it's two women, like, I don't think feelings are supposed to be involved. Again, threesome is not supposed to be it's not supposed to be an emotional thing. Again, it's supposed
exactly.
to be an activity. It's not supposed
okay,
to be. I understand what Rhea and I understand Delicious that you're saying that it's going to be emotional, because it's common sense. If I'm having sex with another man and he's doing it better than the guy I'm with, of course, it's feeling good and I might think about it like, wow. But again, a threesome is not supposed to be an emotional triangle game. It's supposed to be a game of, that's it.
Getting off.
Do it, you have
but
it,
okay,
you have
now.
It. Right.
Now, just say that this is a husband and wife having a threesome. And the husband get with this other woman, he feels that this other woman does it better than his wife, and he's having these emotional feelings about it. How in the world, or say like it was you, and you're having this man has made love to you better than your husband ever did, and you are, you know, you're just going through these changes. Well, wow, that was so good. I want to be with him again, but I got my husband. You know, how do you deal with that if you are married? And, you know, you had a menage a trois, and this other guy did it better than your husband ever did it.
You bottle up them feelings, and you put a little ribbon around it, and you put it away.
I think I would talk to my husband, because now we're talking about a different lifestyle. Now, to make it acceptable, that's called swinging. So now if I'm feeling like I want more threesomes, and I'm feeling good about it, and I enjoy this guy, then now I need to talk to my husband and say, listen, I think, you know, did you like it? Did you enjoy it? See what kind of feedback he got. I'm just speaking on me. See what type of feedback he gives me, and then bring in that, let's be swingers. You want to do it again? You know, most guys wouldn't mind doing it again, but then there's another lifestyle where everybody's feelings is on the same page, where that's what they do in that lifestyle. They have sex, and he can be our partner. Or there's sometimes you have intimate moments where it's just you and your husband, and that's what y'all do, but y'all don't do it with a whole bunch of couples. You just do it with somebody else. I mean, again, you need to talk about things like that, but that's what I would do, approach my husband about that. If that was something that I was into, then now it's the lifestyle out there called swinging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to introduce that to you and see where it goes from there. And if that's something that he's not into, then we got a problem, because if I should never, another man should never make me feel better than my own husband. So if that's the way something's wrong, then we need to talk about it, because something's wrong.
Right. Well, I'm just glad I don't ever anticipate doing this. But how would you cope if your spouse or your partner left you for the person you both agreed to bed?
You know, if that would happen to me, I would only blame myself.
Yes.
You blame yourself?
As wrong as that probably sounds, like a rape victim probably blaming herself, but I allow that to happen. I open the floodgates for that to happen, and so I can only blame myself.
I will only blame myself if I allow it to happen more than one time. If my husband came to me and asked for a threesome, and it was his birthday, and we did it randomly, okay, great. But if that's something that he keeps asking, and I keep letting it do, and I'm really feeling some type of way, then it's a problem. Then I allow for him to walk away, because I kept feeding him his urge.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm with her on that. I would blame myself to think that I allow him to keep doing it. But if he fell in love over one night, then he ain't never loved me. First of all, if he only falling in love over one night, but if it's something that's continuing, we doing it, then yeah, I will blame myself, because I allow him to keep bringing in different women, or even the same women. I allow him to play that, so I will blame myself. I'm with Pete Bunny on that one.
Okay, well, how do you stop this lifestyle if your partner has become fully vested and it's the only way they will have sex with you now, if it's a threesome?
Well,
again,
that has
to go. That's something you need to talk about, because, again, there's a lifestyle called swinging, So if that's something that he's into, then he needs to tell me. We need to find that in the beginning. And then when we do talk about having a threesome, again, that's another conversation. Is this going to be something that you want to continue to do, or is it something that you just want to do because you never had one? Or you just
that happens, this conversation happens before the event.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it ain't going to happen while we're having threesomes, and then I'm going to bring it up. No.
Yeah.
And it needs to happen. In order for it to stop, I mean, it's only two things. You're either going to walk away or you're going to continue to. It depends on the situation. It depends on that person because, again, that person can love that man so much. And I do anything for my husband, you know, that's, you know, each his own. But you need to have that conversation again.
Okay. is it always safe to entertain in your home? Or, you know, how would you carry out this?
No, you never go to your own home. No. You don't want people knowing where you live in your personal bed.
Yeah, that's something supposed to be done in a hotel. To me, I think it's something that you should be done in a hotel. I don't think it should be done at anybody's house. I think it should be more comfortable setting for everybody. It should be somewhere where nobody should know anything about. So the meeting place should be like a hotel room or something like that, you know, but not your home. You don't want to never know. Because you don't ever know, that chick might love it so much, you know, she might come back and want to throw something against your window or something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I was
going to
say, your bunny.
Become a stalker.
One of those couples that I was talking about,
Dan.
When he left for the second lady, she was their neighbor.
See? That's my point.
Yeah, she was their neighbor. And she all of a sudden, she would see him creeping out, going over there. Next thing you know, he was living there. And it started a whole big, you know, war and this, that, and the other, but it was a neighbor that they brought into the home.
Wow. Well, see, that's something, too, because some of these people, they have events at their homes. You know, they have swinging parties at their home and, you know, all kind of things going on in their home.
That's something totally different. That's what swingers do. They have an intimate setting at their own home because that's what they're into. But I'm just saying, if you just want to do a random threesome or just...
But everything goes on when those swingers, they have threesomes, orgies, and all that other kind of stuff in their homes, too. So
yeah,
you also...
People that engage, like
lifestyle.
Swingers, they are, like, professionals. Not professionals, but, you know, they're more committed.
Right. When we're talking about swinging, that's their lifestyle. That's what they do.
Right.
Everybody has events at their house. It may not be at Tom's house. It may be at my house today. So, you know, it's something like that. But far as doing a threesome with someone you don't know or just a random threesome, I think that should be done at a hotel or something. It should never be entertained at your house.
And that is too dangerous.
Yeah, it's too dangerous.
Plus, why would you want to have some random person up in your bed that you sleep in every night?
You know the crazy part about that, when you're talking about, you know, being taken over totally by lust, sometimes rational thinking doesn't occur. It's just like you get caught up in the moment, you see an opportunity.
True.
This should always be on the back of your mind to always do. So you just, you know, it falls into place. The next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, wow, I'm actually doing it. And you get so caught up, you know what I'm saying, if you're new at this and whatnot, you get caught up, but you really don't take time out to stop and think of the ramifications, you know, of once we're all done, you know, what type of person I just had sex with. So it gets really, really sticky, but, you know, I just think you got to be a little off. And I don't mean that. I'm not being judgmental. But I think you got to be just a little off. For that to be a lifestyle, because you're dealing with a whole total different personality. That in itself says, like, you know, to consistently deal with, and we know that sometimes men are moody, and I love my women, but we know sometimes women are moody and crazy, and I'm not being sexist, that's just true in my book. And if I'm wrong, please forgive me. So why would you want to consistently deal with this is beyond me. I don't like it. I swear I don't. To each his own. If you like it, I love it. But, you know, I mean, just my thing is just be careful what you do. And once you do it, just, you know, go to bed knowing that you did that and own that.
Well, see, I guess that's the other question that I ask. Once you open that door or that gateway, how do you close it? You know, especially if he really likes it, you've opened this gate.
Right.
And, you know... And the saddest part about it is for those that do it just for him.
that just to please him. You've opened this gate that you can't close on something that you don't like and don't want to be involved in the first place.
Mm. Wow. Well, this is another question. How do you deal with the jealousy of seeing your partner being pleased more so by another, moaning louder or even screaming out the third person is the best they ever had, or worse yet, even screaming out that they love the third person doing a threesome?
Oh, my. That's a thin line right there.
That's the main reason why I would never participate in a menage a trois, because, like I said, I'm jealous. And when it comes to mine, I don't want to share it. So if I'm in a menage a trois and somebody's screaming and telling, saying they love my partner, oh, no, that's going to be, I'm going to pull out my knife.
Yeah, I wouldn't say jealous. I would just say more territorial.
Well, Delicious, I don't want you to engage in any of this because I'm a PA. I can't come get you right now. Now I can't come down there and bail you out. So what I want you to do is do not engage in that. It's going to take me a minute to get to you, baby. Call me. If you're feeling that urge, call me. Call Daddy. I'm telling you, if you're feeling like that, call me. I will walk you through this. I will talk to you through this. Do not. I repeat, do not do it, Delicious. So do it, baby.
I won't. Only simply because I'm selfish. And I just don't like to share. So, you know, if it's not all mine, then, you know, go away or whatever. But it has to be all mine. I don't share. Simple as that. And you know, I know the reason why those other people was, you know, pulling the knives out. It wasn't because of jealousy or anything like that. It was because the second woman, she was drunk, and the two guys, they were probably drunk. And, you know, but, you know, because I'm a person. When I love, I love. And I love hard. So I don't want to, you know, be giving my love to somebody and then watch them giving it to somebody else. No.
Yeah. Especially have someone else looking at that person the way you do, you know what I mean? That's when the territorial starts coming in.
Right.
True. Very, very true.
That's why it's better for all parties to be non-knowing.
Non-knowing?
Yeah.
Wow.
That eliminates all kind of connections.
And you're right.
Strangers,
you know?
Or whatever. Yeah, but I couldn't even do it with strangers because I'm just not into, you know, those types of things as far as like swinging and menage a trois. Now, me and my partner, we can do any and everything, you know.
Right.
But
right.
To share that with another man or another woman, that's a little bit too much for me. Now, I don't have any.
Little do you know, once you do that, you're opening doors for a whole lot of other things.
Right.
In that.
Right.
So, you know, let's be real, like, using reality and let's be serious about it. If that's something that you're not into, like, people really need to think about it. And I understand, like the man said, that, you know, the young man that was saying, that it's, you have to be comfortable. And, like, heat of the moment, you do not think. Yes, that's common sense. In the heat of the moment, you do not think, like, wow, you got this woman that wants to come home with you and you want to do it. Like, okay, we're drinking and everything is okay, and you do it, and it's like, oh, snap. Like, wake up in the morning, like, what the hell did I just do? But, again,
yeah, yep.
When you're doing menage a trois, if any advice that I can give anybody, because I personally lost a friend, I lost a girlfriend because of that, and the crazy thing about it is I didn't ask her. She came to me and asked me to involved in that activity with her and her dude. It wasn't a rules. So, again, it wasn't a rules. It was just something that she wanted to do. Their feelings got involved, and it was a big argument in the morning. I'm like, what? So my advice to anybody that wants to do a menage a trois, think about it. I would really think about it as something serious. Think about it. Ask questions with your partner, and think about it, because once you open that door, you can't be shocked or surprised at what the next thing is going to come out of his mouth.
Right.
If you allow him to be engaged in that. You can't catch no attitude and all about to divorce him. No, if he came at you like that and you agreed, you can't be shocked if he comes at you again with another question, like, you know, now let's do two. It's like, what?
That's Pandora's box.
So,
that's exactly what it is.
So if you open it, just realize when you open that, you open in a whole lot of activities with that. So I just encourage anybody that wants to do a threesome, baby, you better think about that, because that's not for everybody. If you're not about that life, do not do that.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly because, you know, just like we had discussed it earlier as far as, like, picking up, you know, your partner to engage into a menage a trois. There are places where you go to get people like that because going into a bar where, you know, regular people hang out, people with their husband or girlfriends or whatever, and someone hitting on you, of course you may be suspicious as to why is this happening, you know, why is this person, you know, but there are atmospheres for that. They have, even here in D.C., they have swingers clubs and they have places where you can go to a dungeon and get tied up and spanked and all that kind of stuff. You know,
really?
They have places like, yeah, they have places like that here. Yeah, and it's, I think it's
you
want
to know
where.
I'm not going to look it up. I promise you I'm not.
I think it's one of the places, because a friend of mine was telling me about the club down in the daytime. Well, let me say this. After a certain hour, it changes over. And
and you're in D.C.?
Yeah. And women, you can have more women in there than men. Men can't come in there without a woman, but the women can come in without a man. And the women is free. The men pay.
Yeah, I'm going to need to know that club name.
Oh, they were talking about, like, Taboo. They have rooms that do all different things in Taboo, which is there in Maryland. That's one of the big places that a lot of those people on Abby's page go. And they different rooms. And they, I think they have, like, three levels. And they do different things on each level. And, you know, like, it escalates, or whatever the case may be. So,
right.
I mean, they do exist. I know
right.
I talked to a woman who had, I guess that was one of her fantasies, and we stopped after she got past a certain point because I didn't want to hear anymore. But she,
oh my,
I didn't want to hear anymore. But she said, and I have to admit, for the longest time, I had this visual in my head, and I couldn't. She said, I had nine at one time. And I'm like, dude, what? But this is the thing. She had also had a bodyguard that stood over her, and well, it was a pair, that watched because sometimes they don't cut off. Like, if you, I don't know if there's a safety word. I don't know what the case is. But if you say stop and they don't stop and things such as that, and I was sitting there like, and she said, that was just a fantasy of mine. And she said, all I got to say is, don't think about it too much and don't unless you. I'm like, girl, you ain't got to worry about me. Not me.
Oh, ooh. No. And she,
yeah,
nine.
You got to know the safe word.
They do have a safe word.
They have something that they say, and when they don't have to say it, that stop. And if they don't, because one of her guys' name was Chris, and Chris was serious, and I told him, I said, Chris is in love with you. You better watch that shit, because you know what? You know what? I don't judge, never ever will, but you ain't got to worry about me. Because, see, those doors and gateways and all those kind of things, they can stay over there, and I'm going to stay right here where I'm at. Don't believe in them, would never participate in them.
Right. Well, I don't knock anybody for what they do, you know, because if you want to do a menage a trois, orgies or whatever, you know, that's what you do. But, you know, I stick with what I do. And, you know, everybody's happy at what they do, then that's, you know, that's good for them. But always, always be cautious and be careful when you get into these swinging things, into these menage a trois, all these things where other people are involved in your relationship. You better be careful. And if you don't, if you get into a menage a trois and there's no rules drawn up, you don't talk about it, be careful, because you know the two stories that I read, they could have been killed. You know, they could have actually killed these people that they stabbed, you know, all in the name of having a menage a trois, people drunk. You know, and who wants to be with a drunk anyway, having sex? That's,
Well, there's a whiskey dick, so that's sometimes good.
Huh?
Whiskey dick.
<Funny. laughs>
all of a sudden, Superman, when he gets whiskey drunk, he's Superman, like, damn, daddy, okay, wait a minute.
Jack Daniels.
Shot,
baby.
Well, I just, you know, as long as my man is able and, you know, can keep up with me, everything's good. And this has been a very, very interesting topic, very good conversation going on with it. I appreciate everybody who participated. I really appreciate you, DK, for producing this show tonight.
Oh, no, thank you. I've had contact with everybody. This is my first time interacting with Danny. But for the most part, I've talked to everybody before and whatnot, so it was just a vibe. And I know that me and Gail, we, you know, she gave me my first break, I want to say, after I read my first book. And I knew the vibe would be there and whatnot. So I look forward to doing this, you know, on a regular. And I love the energy and the vibe and the different, you know, differing opinions as well, you know. But I think we all are in a total agreement that, you know, just be safe, just be smart, you know. If anybody's listening,
right,
or if any one of us is thinking about going down that road, just be safe and just be smart, you know, and don't pass judgment to each his own.
Right. Well, we ain't got to worry about Rhea. Delicious, I told you to call me if you think about doing anything.
You ain't got to worry about me.
You want to do what?
No.
I want to have a threesome. I tell you what, you go over there and do whatever the hell you want to do. I'm too old for that. I ain't got time nor patience for that.
Like Sweet Brown said, ain't got time for that.
Girl.
Oh, my.
See ya. Go right ahead. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like I said, you know, and I'm quite sure none of us pass judgment on the people who do their thing because that's what they do. You know, we do what they do. They might look on us like, they never did a threesome, you know. No, I haven't. But, you know, you keep on doing your threesomes and doing what you do, you know, and that's it. So we're going to bring the show to a close, but I want to say this Friday is the end of the month, the last of the month when I have my musical show, and it's going to be Slow Jams. Next Wednesday, Bringing Sexy Back will be posted. I don't know what we're going to be talking about next week until I get the information from DK, and it'll be posted, and I'll send you guys emails on it. But like I said, this was a very interesting show, and I appreciate everybody who came out. Black Man 37, thank you. And all my co-hosts and my producer, thank you guys. And, oh, let me say this. My client, Antoine T. Money's book is, I just want to say this. I hope you don't get mad at me, but I have the proof copy. It's beautiful. And this book, the story in this book, you guys will have to get this book. And it's closer than you think. I know we promised it out a long time ago, but just, you know, getting everything right about it. Everything's right about it now. So be on the lookout for that. And also I'm working on my fifth book. That should be out, I guess, before the summer. Then I have another book to do after that and another book to do before December gets here. So I'll be working on three books. And if anybody's interested in writing a book and would like to be published, you can send it to my publishing company or we can talk about that. I'm on Facebook. Friend me there. I have a couple of websites. Or you can just Google me, Gail Delicious Johnson. Everything will come up. Because I really don't have time to be going into all the addresses and this and that. With that being said, everybody have a beautiful night. See you guys here next Wednesday.
All right. Nice
all right,
talking to you guys.
It was nice meeting everybody. Bye.
Have a good night.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, John Boy.
Crazy.
Hello? May I speak to Barbara, this is Shirley. You might not know who I am, but the reason I'm calling you is because I was going through my old man's pockets this morning, and I just happened to find your name and number. So woman to woman, I don't think it's being any more than fair than to call you and let you know where I'm coming from. Now, Barbara, I don't know how you're going to take this, but whether you be cool or come out of a bag on me, you see, it really doesn't make any difference. But it's only fair that I let you know that the man you're in love with, he's mine. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, the bed he sleeps in, and every piece of food he eats. You see, I make it possible. The clothes on his back, I buy them. The car he drives, I pay the note every month. So I'm telling you these things to let you know how much I love that man. And woman to woman, I think you'll understand just how much I'll do to keep him. Woman to woman, if you've ever been in love, then you know. Now, if you were in my shoes, wouldn't you have done the same thing too? Whoa, woman to woman, can't you see where I'm coming from? Woman to woman, ain't that the same thing? Should I dare step aside and let her take what's rightfully mine? Oh, woman to woman, was I right or was I wrong? You see, I don't want no trouble now. I hope you understand. Understand.